Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are stories that slip beneath your skin, leaving a chill that lingers long after the lights go out. Tonight's tale is one of those. It begins in the quiet, unassuming corners of suburban childhood, where a playful experiment in witchcraft cracked open a door that was never meant to be touched. A door that welcomed something into the life of a young child, a presence that would remain for decades. At first, the signs were subtle, fleeting shadows in the hallway, unexplained whispers in the dead of night, but as time passed, this presence became more than an observer. It became intimate, entwining itself into the very fabric of our protagonist's life. It offered protection in moments of danger, but demanded something in return, something far more unsettling than the comfort it seemed to provide. What would you do if you felt an invisible hand guiding you, holding you, even touching you, with no way to fight back? Could you dismiss it as imagination? Or would you begin to question everything you thought you knew about reality? About yourself. Tonight, we dive into a story that blurs the line between fear and addiction, protection and possession. A story of an unseen companion whose intentions remain terrifyingly unclear. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've debated for years whether to share this story. At times, it feels too absurd to put into words, but this thing, whatever it is, has been with me for so long that I don't know where I end and it begins. I'm not asking for judgment or disbelief. I just need someone to hear me. Starting when I was 8 years old, I lived in a modest house on a quiet street, the kind where nothing exciting ever happened. My cousin, who was a few years older, loved to dabble in the unusual. She had this old book bound in cracked, faded leather that she swore contained spells. One summer night, during a sleepover, she decided we should try one. I don't even remember what the spell was meant to do. Probably something harmless like, see your future. But the moment she finished chanting, the room felt different, heavier. At first, I thought it was all in my head. I wanted to believe that. But in the days that followed, strange things began happening. It started small, fleeting shadows at the edges of my vision. I'd chase after them, convinced it was one of my siblings darting down the hall, but there was never anyone there. Then objects started to move. My favorite planets, hanging from the ceiling of my room, would swing violently back and forth as though some invisible hand had grabbed hold of them. I was only 9, and I was terrified. I refused to sleep in that room after that night. My parents chalked it up to a kid's overactive imagination, but the fear didn't go away. In fact, it grew. I began to feel watched, like a pair of eyes was fixed on me, even in the safest of places. It was worst at night. I'd hide under the covers, but that didn't stop the feeling. If anything, it made it worse. I'd lie there frozen, my legs prickling like thousands of bugs were crawling over them. Sometimes my ears would fill with an unbearable sensation, like snakes sliding into my head, slithering toward my brain. It was the stuff of nightmares, but I was awake for all of it. It wasn't just me. My siblings noticed things too, lights flickering, cold spots that seemed to follow us from room to room. But the focus always seemed to be on me. Why me? That's the question I've been asking for decades, and I still don't have an answer. When I turned 13, something happened that changed everything. I was almost kidnapped. A man in a red car followed me as I walked home from school. He pulled over, leaned out the window, and asked if I wanted a ride. I'll never forget the way he looked at me, like he was hunting. I froze, not knowing what to do. And then, just as he started to open his car door, something made me turn and run as fast as I could. I didn't look back. I didn't stop until I was home, trembling and gasping for air. That night, I felt the presence again. But this time, it was different. It wasn't the cold, prickling sensation I'd grown used to. It was warm, almost comforting. For the first time, I didn't feel afraid of it. I felt protected. It was like the thing that had been tormenting me had decided to switch roles to become my guardian instead of my tormentor. At first, I didn't trust it. How could I? But as the weeks went on, I started to notice changes. The sleep paralysis episodes I'd suffered for years didn't go away, but they felt less terrifying. When they happened, I could see bright, colorful lights, not the dark, suffocating void I'd known before. And I could feel it there, like it was keeping watch until I woke up. When I turned 14, things took a strange and confusing turn. I started to feel connected to the presence in ways I can't fully explain. One night I had a dream, or at least I think it was a dream. In it, I felt a warmth I'd never felt before, like the presence was wrapping itself around me. It wasn't frightening. It was intimate, almost loving. I woke up confused and shaken, unsure of what had just happened. It felt real, too real, and I couldn't shake the feeling that it wasn't just a dream. I tried to brush it off, but the dreams kept coming. They weren't always pleasant. Sometimes they were downright terrifying, visions of faces I didn't recognize, pale and hollow-eyed, whispering things I couldn't understand. But the presence was always there, a constant in the chaos. I didn't know whether to feel comforted or trapped. By now, you're probably wondering why I didn't tell anyone. The truth is, I tried. But every time I tried to explain what was happening, I felt ridiculous. How do you tell someone you're being haunted or possessed by something you can't even describe? My parents would have sent me straight to therapy, and maybe that would have helped. But I didn't want to risk being dismissed or told it was all in my head. Because it wasn't. I know it wasn't, and so I kept it to myself, letting it grow stronger, letting it become a part of me. As I got older, the presence didn't fade. It grew stronger. It wasn't just in the background of my life anymore. It was embedded in it. I felt it everywhere. Sometimes it was subtle. A cold brush against my calf while I was cleaning. A fleeting whisper of my name when I was alone. Other times it was overwhelming, like a weight pressing down on my chest, forcing me to stop whatever I was doing and acknowledge it. At night it became almost unbearable. It was as if it was waiting for me to fall asleep, to let my guard down. When I'd finally drift off, the dreams would begin. They were vivid, unlike anything I'd ever experienced. Some were strangely comforting, like sitting with someone who knew me better than I knew myself, but most were dark, even violent. One dream stands out more than any other. I was in my room, sitting in front of my dresser mirror. I could hear a piano playing, though there was no piano in the house. I opened the drawers, and inside, skeletal hands were pressing the keys, playing a slow, haunting tune. I remember hearing a voice. It wasn't loud, but it was clear. It told me not to look into the mirror, but I couldn't help myself. When I looked up, I saw a face staring back at me. It was pale, its eyes hollowed out like black voids. It smiled, then whispered, "I'm sorry I showed you my black eyes." The words repeated over and over like a chant. I woke up drenched in sweat, the words still echoing in my mind. The next day, I couldn't shake the feeling that something had shifted. The presence felt different. It was still there, but it was no longer hiding. It was bold, almost demanding. That's when the paralysis episodes began again. Only this time, they were worse. I'd wake up frozen, unable to move, feeling the weight of it pressing down on me. It wasn't just a sensation anymore. It was physical. I could feel its cold touch on my skin, its breath against my neck. And then there were the moments I wasn't asleep. It started with an overwhelming sense of exhaustion, like it was draining me of energy. I remember one afternoon, while working on something, I felt it pulling me down, forcing my eyes to close. I dropped to my hands and knees, unable to fight the wave of fatigue. It wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. And I was terrified. I've tried to make sense of what's happening to me. I've researched everything from sleep disorders to paranormal phenomena. I've read about incubus and succubus entities, Spirits that attach themselves to people for reasons no one fully understands, but nothing quite fits. This thing, whatever it is, doesn't feel malevolent, but it doesn't feel benign either. It's like it exists in a space between, feeding on my fear and my acceptance of it. The worst part is I've grown attached to it. As much as I fear it, I can't imagine my life without it. It's been with me for so long that it feels like a part of me. And that's what scares me the most, that I've allowed it to stay. That I've let it become something I rely on, even when I know it's not good for me. A few weeks ago, I heard it speak again. It said my name clear as day while I was alone in the house. I froze, my heart pounding, but I couldn't bring myself to respond. I didn't want to know what it wanted, and yet here I am writing to you, hoping you can help me figure out what to do. I don't know if this thing is a spirit, a demon, or some fragment of my own mind, but I can feel it as I write this. It's here, watching, waiting, and I don't know how to make it go away, or if I even want it to. Thank you for listening to my story. If nothing else, it feels good to finally say it out loud. Maybe you'll have some advice, or maybe you'll just think I'm crazy. Either way, I appreciate your time, and sincerely, Fred. There are moments in life where the boundaries between reality and the unknown blur so completely that it leaves us questioning everything we thought we understood. This letter is one of those moments, a story so deeply personal, so unsettling, that it lingers in your mind long after you've heard it. On one hand, we could explore the psychological explanations for what's happening here. Sleep paralysis, for instance, is a well-documented phenomenon that can create terrifying hallucinations of shadowy figures or the sensation of being watched. The brain, under the weight of trauma, like the near kidnapping the writer experienced, can manifest protective fantasies or even recurring nightmares as a way to cope with unresolved fear. But is that all there is to this story? The persistent tactile nature of the presence described suggests something more. A growing connection between the protagonist and this entity points to a bond that seems neither accidental nor purely psychological. Could it be a spirit tethered to the moment of that fateful childhood ritual, feeding on both the protagonist's fear and their reluctant acceptance? Then there's the question of intention. If this presence started as a tormentor and evolved into something protective, is it truly a threat, or is it a misunderstood force? The pale face with hollow eyes, the haunting apology. Was that regret we heard, or manipulation? Whatever the case, the entity's influence seems undeniable, its attachment growing stronger with every passing year. Perhaps the most chilling aspect is the writer's own admission. They've come to depend on this presence. Fear has given way to a kind of twisted comfort, a reliance on something that may not have their best interests at heart. And that's a real question, isn't it? What do we do when the thing that haunts us also keeps us company? As we close the book on this story, I leave you with this thought. Is it better to face the darkness alone or to embrace the shadow that offers its hand, knowing full well that it may pull you under? Stay curious, stay skeptical, and stay safe. Until next time.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.